This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
All right. Hey, welcome to the War Room today. Great guest today. He's been on the podcast before, not with me. So it's like a brand new episode. And welcome to the show, Mr. Joe Thomas, the tech guy of the century.
Thanks so much for inviting me in, Mr. Jason.
Yeah. Hey, I always like to start the show off. Just do a little brief introduction about yourself, who you are, and what your superpower is, man.
Okay, so I'm Joe Thomas, and my background, I started in marketing and was part of the first text message marketing company in the world. So we kicked it off back in the day. I'll show my age a little bit, I guess. If you remember KFC or McDonald's would say, like, text MCD to 6466 and you can win a year's worth of free food. Well, we kicked that thing off and did really well. We started text message for betting and concerts through text message, and you know, at the time, it was a really interesting space. And since I've founded a few different companies and had, like we talked about before, a whole lot of failures, and they kind of got me to this point here. And I don't know, I just fell in love with tech, and that just kind of led me in this adventure of creating new technology.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, somebody's got to do it, and it's not going to be me. So I'm glad it's you. I still have to have my wife put apps on my phone when I need one. And you know what? That's okay. I'm good with it for sure. But anyway, well, yeah, man. You know, I always like to ask, because you're in the space, you're in the entrepreneurial world, all these things. Did you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Is that where this bug hit you? Is that where it started?
No, it was actually the opposite. So all of my family's always worked for someone else their whole life. Watched several of them. We're all in construction. And so I watched the toll they put on their body. And then eventually they exited from the company because of age. And basically they had nothing to really retire on, basically. So they... too close living paycheck to paycheck, and they really got nowhere in life. And for me, that was not the journey that I wanted to take. I wanted to build something. I wanted to be a part of something bigger, and I wanted something that would be a legacy for my family and also the ability to give back to others and actually make a difference in the world. And I figured out through just working for a company, I couldn't do the things that I really wanted for my life and for my own kids' lives. So I wanted to do something very different than what they did. And that's kind of what got me on track for this crazy entrepreneur journey.
Yeah, man. Well, let's talk through these iterations of things in your life that you've been in, because I want to explore that, because there's a lot of lessons that can be shared throughout that of, you know, coming into this tech space, like you said, back in the McDonald's days, right? And when did you make that leap? I mean, when did that actually happen for you?
It's only a few years ago. I mean, I owned companies doing things like computer, like rebuilding people's computers when they broke their computer. And, you know, probably people like yourself where your wife would send off your computer because you got mad at it. So I ran companies like that. I've been like a concert promoter, and in between there, work for people, and I don't know. I didn't like working for other people. So that kind of led me to the space. Like, you know, I did want to step out of my comfort zone a bit more. And I'm, weirdly enough, non-technical at all, and decided to start a technical company. So it actually bridged the gap. I had a company where we were helping people that was struggling with mental health and substance use issues. And so we did this concert series around Ohio and Kentucky, and we started working with places to basically fund people's treatment. So we went through that. I know that's a weird gap to lead me to where I am today, but that showed me we needed like tech in the space. And so I decided that I was going to get with some technical guys and build some software out. Well, first thing was I learned that I didn't know enough about programming to hire people, so I spent about $100,000 I didn't need to spend. And we came out with no products. And so still stayed on the journey because I don't know, I just fell in love with tech in the middle of it. We found a little, some product fits that we thought were good, and then we didn't do enough asking people who would actually pay for it to actually would they buy it? So we would build out products and just be a waste of money and time. So I learned to always do discovery before releasing a product. And then that kit, we just kept iterating software changes. We finally found something right before the pandemic that could work for the prison system. And then the pandemic hit out of nowhere and we were back to zero again. And very defeating in it. Tried out a few things during the pandemic for symptom tracking and stuff. And then out of nowhere, I actually came up with a mission. Weirdly enough, for starting this company, I didn't come up with a company, I came up with a mission. And our mission was we wanted to give back to those struggling with mental health and substance use disorder, and we wanted to help small businesses. And then we started brainstorming what would that look like? Well, the biggest problem with businesses is they don't know how to do lead generation. They
Sure.
can't get people in the door. And so we were like, okay, well, with what's happening in the world, what would be the best way to do it? And you start to figure like people are scared of rejection. So just reaching out to people cold is hard for a lot of them. They get a few people to say no and they're done. They shut down. So it's like, well, what do we do? Well, we decided we wanted to get in the AI space. So what we did was first we created an automation for like Facebook, and then we're like, let's take it to the next level. And so what we ended up doing was we looked around in the market and we found that there was no AI system for like a personal Facebook account to do lead generation. So we ended up modeling a system that can literally do the outreach with automation, and then when they reply, the AI can have a full conversation with them. It can qualify them. It can handle objections. And once they're at a high sentiment, can actually book them to a call with you completely on autopilot. And then we were like, well, what if it could also sell? So then we put in the variables. Well, now it can also send them to a website to pick up a product, send them a link to pick up a product. It can bring them to a course. It can bring them to a training, challenges. And so we just kept modeling it. And we actually created the first in the world for personal Facebook profiles where AI can fully handle a conversation and take it start to finish and book your calendar. So we created that, seeing what the market thought about it, and now we released it in like January, and we've got like 1,500 users, and we're growing pretty rapidly. We've got monster deals in the works right now with corporations, and it kind of just led to this whole like innovation, and now we're in the process of building conversational AI for LinkedIn. So now we're going to be building multi-platforms with conversational AI to book calls. And then with that, now we can help the small businesses. And as we hit a million, which will probably be in the next 6 months, we'll hit the million mark with our company. We're going to start giving back 5% of our proceeds to mental health and substance use to actually make a worldwide impact.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. And to, I mean, I can speak as a, I mean, I have 18 companies under my umbrella, so I can speak highly of the lift it always is, right? The huge lift it is to do lead generation, take them through to just the acquisition process, period, right? Acquisition then into the sales process. That's a heavy lift with people. So, man, to like automate that whole process, that's pardon my French, but that's pretty fucking amazing. Right? So, that's good shit, man. And if it's working for people, you've cornered a piece of the market, and man, it ain't gonna be too long, and you're gonna be everybody's best friend, especially when LinkedIn, you nail the LinkedIn one down. Now you own a huge market there. That's
For sure.
big. That's
For sure.
big. 'Cause I mean, B2B, I mean, I don't do anything on Facebook. I've found Facebook to be kind of useless for what I do. Same with all the other platforms, but LinkedIn is where all my people hang out. And for B2B space, dude, you figure that out and you got that down, you'll own every human that ever logs into LinkedIn. For sure. That's amazing. Holy shit. Especially an automated pipeline all the way through the sales process. That's cool. What made you even think to even do that?
Really just kind of really looking at the struggles, like we
Yeah.
like I told you before, like the discovery process, like because we failed so many times with the discovery, I just started having conversations. Like, what is it like you're missing? What is it you don't like to do? What is it you struggle at? And then we went through that and it's like, crap, just having these conversations, like wow. So as soon as you get like three no's, like your mental ability goes down. Like you're just like you expect failure. And so you keep getting failure over and over and over. And we're like, okay, so how do we solve this? But let's do it in a way with we don't need all the data points. So, you know, a lot of people need like cold calling list and email list and send out all these different variables. But what happens if third party data gets eradicated, which is right now up before Congress? The ability to eliminate third-party data. And then we're like, okay, well, let's look at what channels will never go away. We're like, well, social. So let's bring AI on social. And then we pitched a few other companies in the space. They told us it was literally impossible. And then that was all the ambition I needed, was them to tell me it was impossible, because then I had a goal to accomplish. And then we proved it out with Facebook. And now we're like 2 weeks away from having conversational AI on LinkedIn. We've already tested it. And the conversational AI completely works on LinkedIn. So we're just finishing that product up. And then that's not the end. We're going to do Instagram and Twitter. And then we're probably going to build our own cold calling, emailing, texting. We're going to build every channel and the ability to build any type of AI identity in one system. So it can literally do multiple components for your business, not just lead generation.
Right. Man, that's really cool, man. So you've already pretty much got the LinkedIn piece nailed down as of you just haven't released it yet, because that's gonna just be crazy, man. When you release that, that's gonna go nuts.
Yep, we're just in alpha testing right now, and then we're plugging it around to some influencers on LinkedIn that will be part of the beta group. So some of the top 10 influencers on LinkedIn, they're all interested to try it out. Like you said, like if they're like, "What? Let me play with
Yeah,
that." So
right.
we're just gonna let them freely play with it, and then let them kind of just spread the news. And I think it'll organically grow into something monstrous for everyone. And the cool part is we don't just have the general business model where you come buy the software from us, but we're creating like distribution channels. We wanted to set this up differently where people can buy in, resell, white label our service, and mainly be a distributor of technology so that it allows our team to completely just focus our attention on technology and building the best tech in the world, and then
Yeah.
allowing our people to make seven, eight, nine figures and build actual like huge companies just selling our software because they already have the communities. So that takes that leverage point from us, completely removes it. It blows us up in the space because they're all talking about it and all the other big influencers are following after what they're talking about. And then everybody wins in that cycle from the end user. Their clients win because they get to spend more time with them. And then we win, everybody wins through the whole structure, and it allows our community to really grow itself organically, which was
Yeah.
a whole different model we figured out.
I mean, it's like you have an outsourced biz dev team. Pretty much, right?
Yep, of top level guys. And then
Yeah.
they get to do what they love. We get to do what we love. And then the end person gets to spend more time with their clients and do deliveries, which is usually what we found businesses love to do. They love to do what they're good at. They hate to do what they're not good at, which is lead generation. So what if we can take that off their plate? And so that way, AI itself, most people look at it as like, oh, it's just taking all these jobs. But what I see it doing is it's giving you the ability to spend more individual time with your customer base to over deliver to your customers.
Yeah, for sure. And there again, anytime you can take a part of the process or the load off of a business owner and make that automate, because I'm a huge believer in automation. I've been Maybe I'm not maybe not the smartest guy in the world. I act a little dumber than I actually am, but but not the smartest guy in the world, but I do know and have built tons and tons of customer journey pipelines that are all automated, right? Because the more automation you put in place and you take the human out, the less you can screw it up too, right?
Yep.
People tend to screw shit up a lot. So the more you can remove people and put process in place, it's at. And now having that whole front end process down with what you're doing, dude, that's freaking amazing. That like almost completely automates an entire business from front end all the way to the back end of delivery.
Yep. And that's the model we were looking at. And then that way you can focus on, if you're a roofer, you can focus on roofing.
Right.
You don't
Fulfillment.
have to focus on anything else. Like you can focus on
Yeah.
roofing.
Just fulfill. All you got to do is focus on fulfillment. That's pretty cool, man. Well, I definitely have some people to talk to about. We can talk about that after the show. Some people I think would be great influencers for you. Anyway, well, cool. But God, just a, there's a, if you kind of peel a lot of that stuff away and think about, all the little nuggets within what we're just talking about, that there's a lot there to like try to get and capture and understand. Because look, technology is, it's growing so fast that honestly, most people can't even keep up with it, right? I'm one of them, right? I probably get 50 messages a day about, hey, look, we got this new thing or this new widget or this or that or the other. And, from your foxhole, because you're one of those folks that has a the new thing, how do you recommend like business owners to deal with all this barrage of tech? I know that's a that's probably a hard question to answer, but you're in the space, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say you definitely want to do your research, but I would first figure out like what is the major pain point you want to solve and then look for what exists in the market. I wouldn't just let everybody come in because there's a lot of I don't know, we'll call them false prophets in the space. They say, oh, it does this, this, and this because they're hoping you don't have the expertise to understand what it does and does not do. So I would say really do your due diligence in actually defining like product to product fit. And if you're going to do something, look for people that's willing to give you like a trial on it, trial run,
Right.
and test
Yeah.
it out in the market before investing a lot of money. Because everybody and their mother with like GHL right now, like Go High Level, is going to sell you some bot automation service. And everybody thinks they're a prompt engineer that can make the best new AI system for whatever you have. And 90% of them are garbage. So look for someone that believes enough in their own product to give you a free trial of their product.
Yeah, and
Because they,
uses their own product. How about
yeah, it uses
that?
their own product, will let you test out their product across the board. I mean, like we're at the space right now where it's growing so fast that I don't even have time to use the product. That's how crazy things have got that I've had to actually shut down using the product because I'm too busy.
Right.
Like, that's a good problem to have. So
That's a great problem to have.
That's kind of what's happened because we got so many evangelists out there. And because really, if you build a good enough product, everybody and their mother will talk about it. I mean, we're not doing ads, nothing, and we've grown to like 1,500 users in 2 months
Yeah.
with no marketing behind this thing at all. The community is actually growing the community right now. It's literally insane. I've never
Yeah.
seen anything like it, and that's the other thing I've kind of learned through this is don't create a company, create a community. So
Yeah.
we're creating a community where they come in and we're like we're doing free trainings, and I'm freeing up my time to do a lot more free trainings and things to actually help them leverage it and to understand like what is every way that you can use to leverage this system to really grow your business. And we're seeing people do like we got one guy that's doing 8 calls off Facebook, 8 calls a day, and it's
Wow.
increased his bottom line by like 200 grand
That's
just using
impressive.
AI.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome, man. Wow. That's really impressive. Well, you know, I guess all that being said, with what you do, what are some real things that you could share with, say, a new founder that's coming in as a business owner? What's a couple key pieces of advice you'd like to share?
Always do discovery. Like, don't just launch a product or a service in the market. Talk to your people and make sure that they actually will buy your product. That's the first thing that I would tell you as a nugget, because I failed at multiple businesses all based on discovery. So I would say always do discovery in the marketplace and build a place where you really are building a community, not a company, and really over deliver for your people, because the more you over deliver, word of mouth spreads. And they will organically grow your company for you if you're just constantly giving to them, giving to them, giving to them. Which, Jason, I would say that you've got it down to a T. You know, that's I know that's a big part of your business model is give, give, give. And the more you give, the more you grow. And by creating that, and have some missions tied to your company. You know, actually make an impact. Don't just make it a part of, like, it's here to make, you know, $1 million, $2 million. Look at, like, how many lives can I affect? And so that's kind of the things that I've learned through this journey.
I'm a huge believer in you just give value for as long as it takes, right? And at some point in time, people will see the value you bring to the table and they'll want to be a part of what you're doing. That's just, it just happens naturally. It's when you force this shit that, you know, that's when it becomes hard. And I truly believe that's another reason why a lot of people fail is because they try to force things out. You know, I'm a tester. I throw stuff out all the time. And you're in the in my leadership council. You'll see me just throw some random shit out, right? And be like, "Hey, I got this great idea. Who wants to do it?" Crickets. Okay, that probably ain't gonna work.
Exactly.
So one person responds and goes, "Hey, that's cool." Well, that's probably not gonna work then. Right? So, but I do it often because I really believe in the just fail really fast mode, right? And you can glean a lot of information out of 500 people, whether or not it's something that's exciting to them, like really fast. If you can get a quarter of that population to go, "Yeah, holy crap." Like when I threw SabX out there, I got a shit ton of feedback on that. And that's why, because it's content. People want to do content nowadays because content is the new currency. So people want to get out on stages and talk and do all those things because it that's where you get a big impact and get a big reach. Because that's authority, right? So now you're building authority. But let me not go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, yeah, so I mean, how do you want people to reach out to you to, you know, check out this new product, man?
So Easy Messenger is the letter E, letter Z, messenger dot, or I actually said it wrong, easymessengerai.com. And then the other one will be easypipeline.com. If you're too early, you won't see the website up because we're working on Easy Pipeline right now, but that's the LinkedIn automation tool that'll have full conversational AI. So that's being worked on right this second. Easy Messenger AI is already producing booked calls for people. Three to eight a day generally. So if you're
Wow.
looking for something for Facebook, that's a good one. Easypipeline.com will be the next one. And it's going to change the game for LinkedIn.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool, man. Well, hey, I like to end the show with a little bit of a thought-provoking question, and that is, if you could have invited anyone here, any point in time in history, dead or alive, doesn't matter, who do you love to have here and why them?
To be honest, it would probably be, and it's going to be a two-parter. It would be my father and my mother, because both of them are deceased, and they didn't get to see what I've done here with life and what I've built. So I would love to just have my family here to actually see what this is and what we're doing.
It isn't a better answer than that, honestly.
You could
That's
say
a
anybody in the world, but man, your family is like, that's where it is.
That's totally where it is. You're right, man. Well, hey, gosh, great episode. Thanks for sharing all that value and sharing what you're doing. I really hope everybody that's listening really understands what just happened here today with what's available to you at your fingertips right now. Suggest you get a hold of Joe and his team and, try it out. Try it out and see if it works for you. And if it does, man, you just entered a new world. So it's good stuff. But anyway, I like to always say thank you for your time. We all have the same 168 hours every week. You stopped by here for 30 with us and shared some nuggets with us, and just appreciate you, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me on, and I appreciate everybody for listening.
Yeah, man. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.